well have to live. Yeah.
Call our meeting to order. Morning, Jennifer. Sorry I'm late. What do we need to do? Everybody all right with the agenda?
Yeah, it's pretty much nothing. We've got something.
Okay.
Motion to approve Monday morning's agenda as presented.
Second. All those in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries. Next, we're ready for T-Highway, I think, right?
That's, I believe so.
Where would we like to start?
Did you gentlemen get my staff report regarding
I left it upstairs, issues? Yes. I
did. All the information's on this and how we got through what I heard today.
No,
I would say probably a lot of time here in discussion.
You want me to just read it? Or?
Well, if you'd like to. And if I missed anything, Ms. Smokey can correct me if I misstated it.
Here's a brief outline of what's happened today. Joe Tarvin of Aegis sent a notice to each property owner within the T-Highway project providing a brief explanation about the project, stating over the next several weeks he'd like to meet with them and discuss how it relates to their specific property. After receiving this notice, Ms. Smolke came to my office to the sewer office to further discuss the project and also discuss the sewer district billing and collection methods. While discussing the methods, I shared with her that it's the John shared with her the sewer district policy approved by the board and provided for by state statute that in the event a tenant doesn't pay their sewer service bill, the board ultimately holds the property owner responsible for the delinquency. She had concerns about the policy, said she didn't agree that it's proper to hold the property owner responsible for their tenant's non-payment. I explained to her that the policy is directed by the board, applied to all owners of rental property, and went on to explain that some landlords have decided to pay the sewer bill themselves and pass it along to their tenant. I informed her that the sewer boards, and when I say I'm talking about John, sewer boards meets twice a month, and I'd like to place her on the agenda if she likes, and she can bring her concerns to them. Since that time, she's appeared before the sewer board on three occasions, requesting that the board change the policy. To date, the sewer board has unanimously decided that this policy is vital to the financial health of the sewer district and its endeavor to become self-sustaining without the need for subsidizing. Sewer board's not willing to give up this tool that greatly assists in the collection of pass-through accounts. Mr. Tarvin, earlier this year, sent easement documents that affected property owners within the T-Highway project area for their review and signature if they agreed with the alignment. Mrs. Smolke, after receiving her document, responded to Tarvin in writing that I've not reviewed the documents for accuracy, but feel the effort would be moot until the policies of the sewer district have been properly addressed and fairly and permanently resolved. The letter goes on to state I've expressed my concerns to both the commission and the sewer board, but to date have received no satisfaction with regard to the policies of ultimate responsibility for payment of sewer provided to tenants, charges to vacant rentals, and charges to empty lots, among other things. Tarvin addressed the sewer board recently requesting their direction on how to proceed with the design of the collection system, stating that his firm was working to wrap up the project, and two of the lines would require an easement from the Schmolkes. One section of line would serve the Smolke home and two other properties to the east. This line, according to Aegis staff, is proposed to cost $164,000. The other line would extend service to the Smolke property to collect sewage generated by their mobile home park and eliminate the septic system that now serves the mobile home park. Given Ms. Schmolke's letter and its content, the board felt that unless they changed the policy regarding property owner responsibility for tenant non-payment, it would be moot or useless to pursue the easements from the Schmolke since the sewer board's not willing to change the specific policy. Given the cost of the line, along with concerns that easements may have to be obtained by legal action, and not knowing if the Schmolkes would connect to the line once constructed, the sewer board voted to take the line segment serving their home and the two other properties out of the project. Again, this line has been estimated to cost $164,000 to construct and would initially only serve three homes. They did, however, decide to extend the public sewer to the Schmolke's property line to a point that if they should decide in the future to discontinue the use of the septic system serving their mobile home park, they could connect to public sewer with minimal expense. Currently, this is where the sewer district stands on this issue. John feels that the sewer board would be willing to work with the Smolke's on the other concerns mentioned, but as for the matter regarding the property owner being ultimately responsible, he feels that they are where they're at. In discussing this matter with two board members yesterday, they stated that if she had vacant rentals and did not want to pay the base rate, a shutoff could be installed on the sewer service line of the structure whereby the building sewer could be shut off, locked out, and the billing account suspended. If she had a renter and wanted to place the unit back into operation, the utility staff could unlock the service and the billing account would be started again. A device for this purpose does exist and I believe can be obtained through a supplier in Springfield. This option would require an agreement between the owner and the sewer district, which provides for this action to take place, and also to hold the sewer district harmless from any damages that may occur in shutting off the service line. This option would require a majority approval by the board. The other concern from Mrs. Smolke was in regard to being charged for empty lots. No charges for sewer service are applied to lots that do not have a structure on them. The sewer district bills on average 2,020 customers per month. This number varies monthly due to how customers pay their bills. Some pay monthly, some pay by the year, and every other variation in between. Whatever the sewer district board does for one customer, it has to do for all of its customers. The sewer district's current billing charges are $32.88 per month for residential and non-residential customers are installed to that's what's charged for residential. Non-residential customers are required.
Say that again. What?
$32.88 is the volumetric average that
for residential.
Yeah, that's what's charged each month to residential people.
Thank you.
And non-residential customers are required to install a meter and are charged $37.26 for the first 2,000 gallons of wastewater generated, and $6.85 for each 1,000 gallons thereafter. Sewer board applies these base rate charges whether the structure is occupied or not. Due to the fact that service is on property and ready for use, the sewer district does have a small percentage of customers each year that issue concerns regarding this practice, but to date do not feel that it warrants an overall change in billing practices. In closing, according to Joe Tarvin, the T Highway project should be ready to go to bid in spring of 2011. The project is currently estimated at $3,034,720. Will include the new collection system, construction of a new lift station, which when completed will replace the current Spring Meadows lift station, and double the sewer district's current pumping capacity. And the upsizing, it'll also include the upsizing of several segments of existing collection lines necessary to accommodate the new lift station. And that's the staff report. I breezed through it for you.
Tell me more about this device that locks out. I'm just curious about that.
There's a device, Mr. Strophus, that is a PVC device. It installs on the building sewer, and it's kind of like a T. I should have brought a diagram of it. I got a diagram from my office. But, you know, the service line comes in on the outlet side of it. Of course, it goes out to the public sewer.
Uh-huh.
It's got a valve on it that can be turned, which would close.
Uh-huh. And then lock?
Yes, and would prevent any flow through the line. And it can be locked out and locked shut.
It's mounted on the house or mounted on the structure?
It's mounted on the building sewer itself.
Okay.
You have to excavate, cut the line, install the unit, and then connect it back to the discharge side going through the public sewer. It's like a clean out.
Sure. What cost-wise, what do you think the cost to install?
This is a couple of years ago, like $600.
Okay.
For the
year.
Okay.
And is there a labor cost for? I mean, obviously there'd be a labor cost. I don't know if you'd pass it on for installing it and then taking it out or turning it on and shutting it off.
Well, that's something that just came up in discussions with the sewer board. This is one way if a person did not want to pay a base rate. You know, any charge would have a base rate to that. If they did not, if they had a vacant structure. Did not want to pay any base rate. That's a way to actually shut that service off, tangible way mm-hmm. to actually shut that service
right.
off, and it's shut off. And with that, there was discussion. This is two board members. This is not the majority
right.
of the board, but there was discussion that there might be a cost for coming out, locking that shut, cost staff's time, labor
sure.
involved, and then a cost, you know, to come back and turn the service on. Would that be $10? I don't know.
Is there many people who are interested in doing this that you guys?
Honestly, each year we have probably, we had a gentleman the other day at the sewer board meeting. I was concerned that he lives in Illinois, but honestly, we probably had five people
okay.
that worked their way through the channels and end up with me that have a concern about the volumetric flat rate billing and that they feel it's unfair because most of these folks have second homes. They're not in there. They bill when they leave, and they don't shut their electric off, but if
they're not using water, they're not putting sewage down the pipe, and they feel they should not pay the $3,288.
Right.
We've talked about this extensively at the board meeting, and Mr. Johns, he stated that he has a cabin in Jasper, Arkansas. He said it costs me $30 a month. Whether I'm there or not, my family, we go down there 4 or 5 times a year, but I pay that. If I want service, that's what I pay.
Right.
It's nothing unusual. The way we started with this is when we started building sewer systems, we don't have any water, you know, like a city, we don't have the water supply.
Right.
And unfortunately, in a lot of our areas, we don't have public water supply. So that's where the volumetric average came from. That average is based on our expenses, and then we look at what cost that we would charge to meet per 1,000 gallons it cost us to collect and treat that wastewater and all the components that go into that. And then we use 5,000 gallons per month per person. That's just an industrial number for calculation. Some people are using 5,500 gallons a month nowadays. And we take that per 1,000 gallon cost times the 5,000. That's how we arrive at the $3,288. Those costs go up yearly. Empire Electric's got one rate increase approved. They're going for another one, so those affect us.
Sure.
$3,288 doesn't cover it, does it?
No, and actually we've had to subsidize this year. Luckily, we've had, you know, during the construction, we've been able to put back funds. Not a great deal, but we're able to have money to subsidize that rate this year. We subsidized it to a tune of $150,000. It's a plan, and y'all, I'll be glad to get anybody a copy of this if you'd like to have one. This is the 5-year projection plan that we're trying to work towards to be self-sufficient.
Right.
And this is, but, you know, the electrical increases now will affect this. We'll have to go and count that in. And John and Mel Akins will begin working on the budget here probably at the last of this month and in December. So we'll have a more up-to-date picture of the financials in this document. But that's the sewer district's plan, is to become self-sufficient because if the economy don't turn around, we've got money to subsidize now. But what if that money, you know, our money depletes? We want to be ready for that, and that's what they're working towards. You know, again, we don't have the water in a lot of places. We don't have folks on public water supplies, and that's how the volumetric average flat rate. And that started with your father on the sewer board and county commission, you know, bless his heart. You know, that's we talked about these things and how to be fair with people.
Right.
And yet bring in revenues because we have a responsibility to 2,000 customers out there to try to do the right things to bring in revenues and maintain the health of that utility. And our rate, you know, when you compare us to some other entities around, it's higher, but that rate, we don't have a lot of means to subsidize our revenues. I feel that our rate is a healthy rate. It's where it ought to be, you know, for sewer operations. You know, of course, we have to subsidize. But we don't have a water system that we might have some revenues there that we can subsidize in to help balance the sewer operations. We don't have any taxes that go in to help us subsidize operations. We're driven off of our customers.
Right.
And what we have a capacity fee for new construction. We have an impact fee. We have a few little fees that bring in a little extra revenue. It's really a small part of the pie chart, but they bring in a few little revenues. But, you know, it's 99% driven by our customers.
Collections.
And that's where the sewer board has a concern of changing policies that could affect those revenues because it's going to go throughout and be a ripple effect for our customer base. But we do, you know, I feel that the board would be willing to talk about things that and try to be fair with folks. I mean, I've got a great sewer board, a lot of very intelligent gentlemen on that board, and they have, I think that they've got a good heart, you know, I really do, some of the things we've done to help people in the past, so.
Just real quick, do you remember off the top of your head, I think Great River did a little study 6 months ago or a year ago on the rates in Southwest Missouri, seemed like they had about 15 different things in here. Is it in there?
Yes, sir.
And bottom line is,
we're about metal.
I was going to say, we're not bad, in a bad way about that.
Is it apples to apples? Well, does it include water, some of these rates? Or?
Well, most of those do, Bob, because most of those are, well, about all of the cities, we're the only sewer districts that's kind of included in this rate today.
So to compare apples to apples, you'd have to take somebody's $32.88 and you'd have to add their water bill to that.
Well, what they've looked at there is just the sewer rates. They didn't really get into how they're
A lot of rates are not calculated in this.
Okay.
That's just basically what the rate. I think that what they used on that, though, that might be where you was going, is that they used 5,000 gallons per month based on what, like Branson has a base rate, and then they have so much per 1,000 gallons. And I think just for calculation on that, they used 5,000. I might have used 5,500 gallons on that, guys, but I guess maybe
it might be useful with that.
Okay. One thought I had while listening is we got a number of issues. The first one was the mobile home park being held responsible if something didn't work.
Right.
The idea of putting in shutoffs. And having a policy where you don't pay if you're not staying there. What are the other ones that I missed?
That's the three I've heard of. Is the that's
three. Do we want to take one of those at a time and talk about it a little bit?
Yeah.
I don't understand that if this application of a shutoff is there any installed in Taney County?
No, not that I know of. I think Taneyville might have put a couple on because people weren't paying the sewer bill, and that's before they had a water district agreement, Water District 1. But
they install them in their line, right, as they extend to the property? Because you couldn't extend that in a – you couldn't put that in somebody's private
– You'd have to have an agreement. What happens is in their easement – on the main sewer trunk sewer easement, their service line comes into that.
Right.
And that's where they install that.
They were using that as a collection method, shutting people's sewer down if they didn't pay. Are they still doing that?
No, they have a water district agreement now, Water District 1 water shutoff agreement.
Right.
So because they're using that. Now, they...
It can get expensive per one of those units, and in addition, DNR frowns on that. Is that right?
Well, they don't. Yeah, they do. They have a problem with that. If you go in there and don't have an agreement with somebody to shut water off and it backs up somebody's house, you'd have health department, DNR, you could have all kinds of concerns.
I guess the question to ask maybe is, do we want, because this has been talked about, I've heard it talked about a number of times anyway, do we want to do anything, work towards having that as an option? My thought is, if there's such an option, that the property owner would be responsible, of course, for the cost of the valve and the installation, and then what kind of option or whatever, and that's not the right word, for, as you said earlier, John, if you had such a thing, would there be a cost to shut it on and off?
Be cost effective for the consumer to pay for the valve and for the labor to go out and turn it on and off. It would probably be cheaper to just continue to pay the $32 a month.
Well, that's a possibility. I mean, we're not trying to make something difficult where, you know, it would support our way we do business, but it would be an option if there's a meter installed. That meter's going to have to be read monthly, so that's going to be utility staff going over there doing that. So there'll still be a base rate, and we don't know what that base rate would be yet. We're just talking about things. It might be $25 a month, and then so much per thousand. But with the actual shutoff, and you know, we're trying to look, well, what's electric utility do? What's the water companies do? Well, they go out and they pull the meter. Well, we can't do a lot of those things, but we can shut that service off, and if that service is locked out, then we know no sewage is going there, and we could suspend the account. You know, because if Miss Smokey has a unit that's not got anybody in it, and she wants to take that unit out until she can get it re-rented or something, then we could suspend the account. She would incur no charge. until that unit's ready to go again. We can go out. That's something that we as a utility could have tangible hands-on way to do something. And I'm not saying I'm 110% in support of it, but we're just looking at what the law is.
And I've got a procedural question here. This is the district's decision, which is the board, correct, Bob?
That's correct.
So all we're doing is making suggestions to the utility.
Right.
Okay. I mean, Ms. Smoke, I just want to make sure you knew that whatever we decide today is just conversation to recommendations, but...
And I tried to address the board first on everything, and it was just after I didn't get any place there that I came to.
Okay.
As you said, it's a recommendation, but I have a real concern with not extending the sewer line across the property. She may not even own the property in 5 years or 10 years or whatever, and we're trying to take care of sewage in an area. If it's not mandatory that she hook up, I still can't see why we wouldn't go across the property. Because it'd be an entirely new project if it was, it would be an entirely new project if, say, she got tired of messing with the business that she has, and so she decided to either sell out or to move, and we still have a mobile home park in the area that doesn't...
Well, that's why the board decided to leave that line here, Mr. Graham.
Leave it short, right?
Yes. We're going to take it up there, and you know, it's not to take it up there close and force somebody to hook up, but we wanted to have that manhole there on, you know, close to the property as we could get it, so if something ever happened in the future, that they could... I don't know exactly where their septic systems are located. They kind of, this is the line, actually, the $164,000 line.
Does it start here, or where are they going to break it off?
It starts down here. I mean, this line, actually, the pet resort will come in here, so this line actually is going up this draw on the Smoky property, an 8-inch line, to serve their home and these two other homes here, $164,000, and it was there. They was going to do that, but... They got to looking at the cost and what the benefit is. If we have to move this line off the Smoky property over here across this draw, it's going to be deeper, and it's going to cost more money. Mm-hmm. And right now we're about $54,600 per house.
The point is, if I understand it right, in leaving this off, you lose the benefit of those three homes being on, but they're going to bring that to here so that if they wanted to bring the park on later, they can still do that. They can still hook the park up. I mean, they'd have to get it to
the... The shells could come in here, but what we run into, if we took that line way back down here, then that's all solid rock. And it would be a considerable cost for the Smokies if they should decide in the future, or anybody that might purchase this, to get through all that rock to get there. So that's why they're trying to get it up there where it's...
If you didn't say this, but I'm thinking this was you were talking, if they sold the property or came up with some better use for it and developed it, mm-hmm. they still got sewer there in a reasonable hookup.
Right. I thought that this, when you were talking, I didn't know this was here.
I can see your...
Well, I thought this was the $164,000 project. That's this line here.
Only serving that. Like I said, sewer board was more than willing to leave that in there, even though it's pretty expensive.
It is.
And it goes along on their side of the property, 8-inch gravity sewer. It's beneficial. But, you know, they, and that line, when they say take it out, that line is a digitized format on a computer.
Right.
If we work this issue out, they click a mouse, that line's back.
Right.
And that's up to the sewer board, but I think that they would strongly consider that. So that line ain't like it's gone.
And right.
It's never coming back. So.
The $3 million, briefly.
Yes.
Is that these lines, these
Well, here? That's these lines here, gentlemen.
Plus that pump station?
It's probably still in there a little bit. The pump station's almost $1 million.
It's down. It's down.
It's Spring Meadows
down here. Here.
Completely new lift station.
So wrapped up size all the way from Walkington Road to the new
that's
pump
what I thought.
Station.
Yeah.
Plus new force main.
And then going down Coon Creek.
kind of back to Danny's question about putting it in. I don't think anybody's willing to put it in. But Mr. Smokey didn't want to sign an easement. So, yeah. I mean, you know, that was, if she doesn't want it, didn't want to spend the money going to court to serve 2 months.
Right.
The main thing.
But I had the lines in the discussion. I had the lines mixed up.
Okay.
And that's the reason I made the statement I made is I had the lines mixed up because I thought it was the other line that they were taking out, and it was I couldn't see that it was beneficial.
Well, I mean, the sewer board. I mean, we're doing this. We're not doing this to get rich on building sewers or operating sewer systems. We're
right.
trying to clean the lakes out.
Sure.
And they did not want to do something where that the park would be out there orphaned out there. I mean, they wanted. That's what we're doing this for. We're not getting rich off this. You know, no doubt about that.
I got one other question, and I know you guys and the sewer board's probably talked about it. As they go down T10, and I heard you talk about an 8-inch line, and I heard you talk about upsizing the line from the lift station up to the other location to handle this. Are we, how many situations do we have where we put in undersized lines and have to go back and from development, because the whole T highway project down T10, which has Barth's deal, I mean, I know he's hooked up right now to his own sewer system down there, but I'm talking about all the development that's down T10, anything that would be down either side, basically. Basically, this is the T Highway project.
Is that an 8 up through there, or is that 10? Okay. Up there by the line there, by the Smokies there.
That's an 8.
Yeah. That's an 8. Where the other line, and the whole big line, is that comes across the road, is it an 8, or what's it?
It'll be, yes.
If I could suggest,
because all we have to tie into is an 8 in Cross Creek. Which part of Cross Creek is 10-inch, so that's why when they ran it, they went to a manhole and stopped, and it's 8-inch below it, so we need the capacity of the 10-inch taken on to the pump station. This pump station will be every bit twice what our capacity that we currently have.
Okay.
Well, the line size, I mean, if that's something to talk about, I mean, that's... incidental cost really if we wanted to upsize to 10. I think what you're saying is if building ever dollars. Mm-hmm. If building ever takes off again, it might be
okay. I'm guilty as anybody. We got other appointments lined up, and here we are pushed on time. And what are we going to? Are we going to try to address any of Jennifer's things?
Well,
and that is having the holding that, or having the mobile home owner responsible.
Well, that's.
We've talked about it. Jennifer, you want to throw in a couple cents there?
Well, I knew that you were short on time, so I went ahead and I just typed out a bunch of stuff.
Okay.
You asked me to bring things to the table, so I'm not into the taxes and stuff like mm-hmm. that. I don't know how that's all addressed. So in this,
And we got some time, so don't feel too rushed. But
sometimes we chase a rabbit and we don't ever get the real hunt on what we wanted.
I'm sorry, I didn't that's know that
fine.
You were
going to
be present.
No, that's fine.
We'll share.
Thank you.
First of all, I thought it was going to be a lot earlier this morning. First thing in your packet is the request for a meeting, 6:30 to 7 o'clock. So I was here early this morning.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry?
What do you do?
The first thing in your packet?
Yeah.
The request for meeting? 6:30 to 7 this morning. So I was here. Nobody else was.
Wow.
So thank you for showing up. But anyway. Well, I knew that your schedule was down in little print later. It does say 8:30 to 9. So that's how I corrected myself. Anyway, first of all, I want to thank you all. I know that you've spent a lot of time with me and put a lot of time into this, and I certainly wouldn't be taking up your time if I didn't think it was an important issue and that I thought it affected a lot of people. So I do thank you for all your time with me. I've got several sheets in there if you under the paperclip. Mm-hmm. There are certain things that we just can't compromise on. My husband and I are putting ourselves in a situation. We've already dealt with it with the propane. We've been taken for thousands of dollars on the propane because they made us buy the propane first. Owner was responsible. So they use it first. You bill it to them. They move out.
And
we're left. So we've already dealt with this. We know what the end result is, and it's that we pay, and we pay, and we pay. And I told the propane company to just come and get their tanks. We switched everything over to electric. We have no more propane in our park. And that's kind of where we're at with this sewer. I'm just afraid that, okay, we'll agree to this now. We'll go ahead, because we've got great tenants. And I think they'll pay their bills. But that doesn't always last. When you're in rentals, it turns over. Mm-hmm. And so the next tenant, they can tell you that they're the salt of the earth and everything, but it doesn't always end up that way. And so I just can't let ourselves out on the limb. If you get a bad tenant in there, not only do we lose our rent, and we lose our rent for 2 to 3 months, because by the time it gets through the courts,
right,
they are not paying their rent. So we're out $1,000, basically. Right. More than $1,000, more like $1,500, just on the rent. Then we're supposed to absorb the sewer district bills. I can't absorb all these people's bills. I can't do it. I'm trying to keep me afloat.
Right.
So that's something we can't compromise on. We can't pay their bills. The second thing is, if we can do, back in December, when I first started this argument, back in December, I said that we would put meters on. We will bite the bullet once. We'll put the money into it. If somewhere along the line, they take over and take responsibility of it, we'll do whatever's necessary. We'll put in these lockouts. We'll put in a meter. We'll put in so that they can come out and they can read the meters. They can do the billing. They can take care of shutting it off. And if they're not a good one, that gets rid of our tenant. We get them out of there. They get there. We can get a more responsible one in there, and they'll be paying the bill. But we can't. We have to have a way to stop the bleeding. We have to have a way to shut it off. We aren't going to pay for vacant lots, and if they put us out of business because we can't pay for this, I'm not going to pay for a commercial line to the property when it's not being used.
And John just wanted me to say that we can't shut off her private water line, and she can't either unless she were to become a utility. She could do that, and then maybe we could enter into an agreement with her, but absent that, we can't do that.
Okay.
And back in December, I suggested, I have the speech or the address that I gave there, and I said, I will enter into a well agreement with you. You told me to come, at the bottom of this thing, it says, come to the table with solutions and stuff. I suggested a lot of things back in December. I'm willing to do a lot of stuff if I only have to do it once. If I can go to the bank and say, I need this much money, I need this, I can take care of this. I'll put it in. I'll bite the bullet once. I'll pay for that stuff. But I'm not going to continue to pay till eternity because there's no way to shut it off. I mean, it just keeps going and going and going. And that is one of my biggest arguments, is that we need to get the water in first. At the PNC meeting the other night, a lady came up to the microphone and said that in Valley View, they have water, but they don't have sewer, and it's a problem. Why aren't we putting the sewer out there? They've already got the water. I'm sorry?
It is being designed right now.
Good. And that's what I'm saying. Look for those areas. They're closer to the lake than we are. If we look for those areas that already have water, that already have the ability to shut them off, already make a well agreement or a water district agreement or whatever with those areas that already have that intact, and then as the water district develops, then follow a sewer. But we're putting the cart before the horse, because you have to have that in place. I think 3 or 4 times this morning already you said, we don't have the water. And I think that's very important.
I agree with you to some respect. There's some areas like down Short Creek, down below Hollister, and some of the areas that we took that approach, we'd have some serious sewer problems still occurring. But those are areas of high density, though. But it's very helpful to have the water, but just in what we've done in the past, if we had took that approach, we still have a lot of environmental concerns out there.
But for, she is right, for utility, running a utility purposes, it would be key to have the water lines as well as the sewer
it's
lines.
It's very helpful, but, you know, you shut the water off, and you still got an outstanding bill to be paid, and that tenant's not going to pay that bill. The state statute still provides that the homeowner's responsible. I don't see that really solved. That's going to shut the water off to stop the problem, but you still got to collect.
I'm just trying to get to the meat of the conversation. It sounds like there's only one of the three solutions that makes sense to Ms. Smokey, which is the shutoff. It just sounds like, I mean, because some of the things that you're saying that you will not compromise on, which I understand, narrows it down to one option for us, or two options, which is have a shutoff install, and you guys, the district comes up with a rate of what it costs to turn it off, what it costs to turn it on. But it sounds like that's the only option that we've got that we're looking at is, based off what I'm hearing.
That would address paying for vacant rental units.
Correct. Yeah, that's what it sounds like. That's the only avenue that that we're at. If I'm misunderstanding, but her first paragraph points it out that's.
And
if they're not going to be responsible for tenant bills, that narrows it down pretty quick.
Yeah.
Well, and they're
still the property owner is still responsible for those bills. Even a back bill, if it was shut off, they would still be under state statute.
Right. That's true.
And I just
thank you.
Don't understand how that came, because that person now, okay, they're at my trailer court now. They move out. They've left me with a bill that I have to pay you, so they move over to Michelle's. They go over there, they live there for 3, 4, 5 months, don't pay their bill. Now Michelle has to pay you. And it's the same person moving all around the county, incurring bills for people, and they're the ones that are getting the sewer. If we don't pay the bill, we're the ones cut off.
Well, in other businesses, they would just assume that they're going you build into it, into the rent payment extra, or you have a security deposit for the last payments that they may not make.
You try and stay competitive.
I know you.
He's talked about the electric bill. It's gone up for everybody, not just the sewer district.
Right.
No, I agree.
Yeah.
It's gone up for the tenant. The Social Security did not get a cost of living, and it may be gone altogether. Who knows? But they did not get a cost of living. I've got two people on Social Security in the park now that tell me they have cents left at the end of the month. Cents. I mean, not a whole dollar even. And now we're going to bill them another, if it's $32.88, if we've got to, cover late fees, or we've got to cover cutoff fees,
right,
or we've got to cover, then, okay, let's go 40. Well, by the time BioSolids gets through, it's going to be $40 a month. So that's 40. Now it's gone up by 13% for the electric. And, it just keeps raising. That's a third of what they're paying for their lot rent.
If we, you can't really put a tangible on it, but we lose thousands of dollars a year if we didn't have that. And that, like I said, the revenues come 99% from our customers. So
no, I understand.
Yeah, if we project that in, it's going to raise rates. Oh.
I know that we're at kind of an impasse on that. So I went a little further. If you go down two pages and it says taxes, mm-hmm. Here's where I don't know at all what I'm talking about, and there's a lot of question marks in there because I just don't know how it works. And I may be crazy on some of this, but if there's another way to go through the taxes, I just don't understand the process, I guess. I pay taxes for school all my life. I've never had any children, never sent any children to school. I understand it's for the good of the community and everything like that. But either we have to stick to the rule that you pay for what you use, or we all have to pay for everything that's good for everyone. And so where are the taxes for the water and sewer? If this is what needs to be done for the good of everyone, where are the taxes to cover some of this? Why am I paying for school, but I need the water and sewer? I'd rather be paying taxes for water and sewer. I mean, there's something I don't understand why the city of Branson, and it was explained to me the other day that they've got taxes that cover this. So their water and sewer bill is 20-some bucks a month.
The county has a 1/2 cent sewer sales tax that provides for capital improvements and construction of capital improvements. It doesn't have anything that can be dedicated to operation and maintenance of the system.
Maybe we should make some revisions to that. Like I say, I'd much rather pay for sewer and water. That's what affects me rather than school district.
Board has talked to Mr. Paulson extensively about how they could do something with the sales tax, and he's gave board opinions on that yet to make a decision. But, we're looking at, we're getting ready to spend several $1 million this next year on renovating our sewer systems and getting this infiltration under control. And there's things we could do with those sales tax dollars to help that will have an ultimate effect on the rate charged to customers. We get the I&I out of our sewer system, that's going to cut down on our treatment cost to Hollister, which is one of our huge budgetary expenses each year. So, but then the subsidization of sales taxes, that's something that goes to Mr. Paulson's realm as far as the legalities of it. But that's something we've looked at. I mean, if there's something to be done there, it's a community to have.
Something on that, also I mentioned in here, like the tourist tax. The tourist tax, does that only benefit Branson? Are they the only ones that get anything off of that? Does the county get a share off of that?
It's a separate entity.
It's a district.
Actually, the district straddles two different counties. It's not all within Taney County.
Part of Taney and part of Stone.
And the board that's appointed, I think we only get one appointee or maybe two on that board, and other entities, including Indian Village over there in Stone County, get to appoint people, and that board decides how that money is spent.
And it's specifically,
there's
guidelines
that say statute, where it can go,
where they can spend the money.
And sewer is not one of them.
But there's two tourist taxes, are not the one that you all are talking about, which is a newer one, and then the older one is the city of Branson tax.
And that's not us.
And that's not us.
There's the city of Branson and there's a...
And that is the tax that the city of Branson uses a percent of that tax to reduce the cost of water and sewer.
Right, the infrastructure improvement is how they kind of work.
But it is, bottom line, the question is, the county didn't get their hands on any of that. We don't have... It wasn't passed through the county. It wouldn't be fair for us to have our hands on it because the people... The city and then that district they talked about. But there's two different, am I not right?
You are right.
There's two different tourist tax, and the one was passed recently, just in 05 or whatever it was, and it's for marketing, for advertising.
Well, it's just, as it goes through my mind, the tourists don't only just use downtown Branson. They're out on the lakes, let me tell you. And if we're doing this for the area lakes, if the column with sewer and stuff is for the area lakes, then the tourists are using the lakes too. Mm-hmm. And we want to keep it clean for the tourists. Mm-hmm. So somehow the tourists are, I see maybe a little responsibility there.
That the growth that we've experienced from the early 1990s, thankful to the city of Branson and the sales tax dollars that's come in, we would be doing a lot of what we're doing since a high percentage of that money comes to the city. But a lot of those folks don't live in the city. They live on the outlying areas and thus cost development in those areas where we had to start building some sewers and stuff like that. So it does impact.
Well, these are big policy issues that obviously the governmental entities in Taney County, whether they're cities or the county and in Stone County, maybe need to get together and plan where their tax monies get the best buck and maybe reconfigure how the taxes are collected and expended. But this is real big policy stuff. I mean,
Ms. Smokey, the whole problem is you make too much common sense for it to be in government. That is exactly what's wrong. The facts are the tourism industry was built in this area from the lakes. They can talk about all the music shows and all the other garbage that they want to, but the lakes is what brought the industry into us, this area. And the proposal that you make, I'm in total agreement. If somebody charges me for a vacant lot, I'm going to be furious. If somebody charges me for a rental house that I'm not using, I'm going to be furious about it. I don't blame you for being upset. They've got a policy. They've got a board. Like John said, they've got some good people that sits on those boards, and they have to deal with all this. But the facts are is sometimes we get away from the idea that everybody thought that, man, we're going to get out here. We had commissioner leave the commission meeting to go work for the for the tourism tax. Okay. Here's the thing. The tourism tax affects every one of us because we can't get a tax passed like you're talking about to benefit everybody, because we've got a district over here that wants all the money, and so whenever the money is raised on a tourism tax, then nobody wants to pay any more, and whenever you get a tax for the county that would benefit everybody, they say, oh, we're paying too many taxes now. Well, the tourism tax is 1%, which is as much as our GCR and our sewer tax combined. So that affects everybody. No, it affects a certain group that wants to advertise and wants to fill their pockets in simple terms. So what you're saying, everything that you've said, I'm in agreement with. It's just a matter of it can't be implemented because of certain reasons that are out of our control. And the shutoff deal, as Jim said, I think that is probably for your purposes. And I hate to see the line not go in.
I do too.
Now, here's the thing. I just think about it. $167,000, $164,000 line that doesn't go in now. And there's a large development goes in on down the road from where you're at. And when we get ready to build the line, that $167,000 line in 5 years will cost us $3 million. It's happened time and time and time again. So those are the reasons that I think that whenever we were talking about the expense of the line, it's not because it goes up and serves three houses. It's because it goes up and it is there to extend on to the future of T Highway, the development that's on T Highway. It's not going to get any less. It's definitely going to be more. So when we talk about planning, which I'm a big in favor of all the planning that we can do, to not build 167 $1,000 line when we have the people set up the equipment and everything out there, it's totally ridiculous. But that's not my decision. That's the sewer board's decision. But I just wanted you to know that I'm in total agreement with what you're saying. The shutoff system, it looks to me like to be your only recourse.
And but she's still ultimately responsible for the bills, and that ultimately won't help her. I mean, bottom line is she's still...
She can cut off the bleeding. That's what she's wrote in here. Where do you cut off the bleeding? She can shut the line off. She can pay that bill, and she can...
But she doesn't, what she's saying is she doesn't have the money. If they skip, you're in trouble. I mean, and by state statute, you're responsible because you own the property.
But do you collect a deposit for 1 month advance?
I collect a deposit of less than 1 month's rent.
Okay. If you collected the deposit of 1 month's rent and then had a contract wrote in there, then, like you're saying, I would rather pay the 1 month extra or 2 months extra as to have it continue for 4 or 5 months and have $200 to $300 that's going to have to come out of your pocket and put you out of business.
Well, with all due respect, when somebody... is getting stuff for free, basically, and they know it. The renters are way ahead of this stuff. They know what they can get for free and what they can't get for free. And if somebody else is ultimately responsible for their sewer bill, they're going to make sure that they have to pay it for them. And so you get somebody in there, you check their references, and somebody else is trying to get rid of them. So they tell you, oh, yeah, they're the best renters I ever have. And so you get them in there, and A month later, you find out this is not my ideal tenant. So now you've lost the next month's rent, the next month's rent, until you can get a court date. You got to serve them 30 days notice. If they have their own trailer, you have to serve them 60 days notice. Then you have to wait for the court date to get in there. Then it's winter months, and if they have children, the judge doesn't want to put them out on the street. So you end up paying 3 to 4 months in rent. I've got less than 1 month's rent. That's not going to cover the 3 months rent, 4 months rent I'm out, or the sewer bill. I'm way down.
Mm-hmm. Now, what I was trying to do was see your side of the story. The way you're saying it, none of your options will work.
No, that's why I say I can't take any more hits.
So I don't know what to tell you.
Steve Green has 16 condominium units on one. He pays the buildings up.
One thing that I wanted to say to her so that she understands, and when she said build where the water is at, the water is not in certain locations. You can't build your sewer lines according to that because of the contour of the land, the structure of our land with rock glade and everything else. What brought this whole project on was two culverts that run underneath a highway, T Highway, that had sewage, raw sewage running under those structures. And that's what brought this to the attention of everybody, that something needed to be done. Just because there wasn't water there doesn't mean that that project didn't need to be done in a significant way, because it was running right down into the creek and right into Lake Taneycomo. So that's, I wanted to clear that up with you. We can't figure out that we're going to build a sewer in this area just because they got water there.
Right. And I want to reiterate once again, all through this, I've said it's not that I don't want sewer. It's not that I don't want sewer. I think county sewer is, like I say, I'd be willing to pay more taxes or whatever because it is for the good of the whole community. And it's something that needs to be done. I understand that. I can't pay more than my proportionate share, and that's where I'm at with that. And that's kind of what I say in here is, is everybody paying their proportionate share? Are the cities paying enough to the county if they're doing the processing? Are they doing like I say, I don't understand a lot of these processes, but at the sewer district meetings, I find out that they pay a certain capacity, they pay for some of the process, the county does some of the processing or something, is that correct?
We pay the cities for processing.
You pay the cities
processing. All of our sewage right now, not all of it, a large portion goes to the city of Hollister. That's our, instead of us owning a treatment plant, we have agreements with Hollister. Since the commissioners, back when we started down this road, felt, you know, that was the best way to go to work the city of Hollister. That's why we own a large amount of their capacity in their treatment plant. Now we have capacity going to Forsyth. If we had to build a treatment plant and hire more staff to operate a treatment plant and everything, right now those costs outweigh what it would cost to continue these agreements. So we pay them in lieu of having a treatment plant and all that responsibility and staffing that goes along with that.
Is that all going to change when this biosolids thing goes through?
We don't know the exact percentage there, but Hollister, our solids go to Hollister and Forsyth. So therefore, they'll have to pay to have those solids treated, and those costs will be passed along to us as a customer of that treatment plant. So it'll affect us somehow. We don't know how much.
Yeah.
I've been trying to find out, but nobody can give me any information.
I know we're running short on time. I put it all down there. If you just read through it, if somebody can give me a call and let me know kind of where things stand before we absolutely, you know, either I'll throw in the towel and say,
let's do this. We'll make sure the commission gets a position.
Okay.
Okay. We'll commit to the commission. Since you came to us as a meeting, I'll make sure as a commission we send notification what we can and can't do.
What we think to the recommendation to the sewer board. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I can say right now that I can't speak for the board members, but some of the vacant lot issues and those things, I think we can work through them to try to find some sense of parity. The responsibility of the homeowner not being responsible, that's something just based historically on past board meetings that they're concerned about that very greatly. Do you have something there?
Well, I don't understand. If she has an empty lot with no mobile, no structure on it, we wouldn't charge her.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, yeah. Those things would be
broken. I've been told I would be.
No.
The only thing with a vacant lot, if you hadn't developed a lot, and the way it is, not you, nothing against you personally at all, but if a sewer goes in and there's a vacant lot here, and any structure that's existing prior to those plans being approved by the Department of Natural Resources would not be charged any fee or capacity fee. But if you place if I buy a lot and build a new home there after that date, then I would pay a capacity fee of $1,500. That's the way it is. But anybody existing, any structure existing, commercial, residential, whatever, there's no charge for that. It's no charge. That might have been where maybe I didn't explain it to you properly or something, but in the actual billing of the utility, if you don't have a structure there that somebody could occupy, you would not receive a monthly sewer bill for that.
But if somebody owns their own trailer and comes in, there's going to be a capacity fee of $1,500.
The way it's set up right now, if somebody can walk in that door, unlock the door, sit down and turn on the TV, then there's going to be a monthly charge.
She's talking about if in the future pulls their home in.
Because I was told I was approved for 12 lots right now. So I've only got, I think there's 7 there now that are occupied. 7 mobile homes that are occupied. If I had a gentleman if another trailer came in and set up on one of those empty lots, do I pay a capacity fee? Do I pay a monthly fee? Do I pay?
Is that lot there established for the?
Yeah, I've got 12 lots.
If you have existing lots there, then that lot would be counted. It'd be like a structure.
Okay, so I would pay the $3,288 for an empty lot.
Yeah, I mean, but you wouldn't pay $1,500.
Right, but I would pay $3,288 every month for an empty
lot.
Not
for an empty lot. No, ma'am.
No.
Okay.
Not for the lot. If I move my trailer out and John moves his trailer in, then there'd be a new account established in John's name.
But if you moved yours out and John didn't move the trailer in
he wouldn't
pay.
Okay,
see, that's where...
No
structure. Well, we've accomplished it.
No structure, no pay.
Okay, that helps a little bit.
If you had a unit and you gutted that unit out to remodel it, nobody can live in it, we'll suspend that account.
Okay.
If nobody's in there.
Is there something in writing that says that so that when I get that bill and come to you and...
Those are staff things that we do on a day-to-day operational deal. If you want something with my name signed on it or whatever, I'd be glad to tell you what we've done historically for people.
Okay. Well, just a lot of it is you don't know who's going to be in your office, who's going to be in that seat for, tomorrow. And so what promises you make to me today does not necessarily hold true for the next guy.
I agree with you.
If it's not down in policy. Well. So anyway, I know that you're tight on time here and everything, and I want to thank you once again for all your help. If you just go through the notes a little bit, if you have questions, please call me. And whatever you decide, we'll decide after that.
Yeah.
So, thank you very much.
Thanks, Jennifer. Okay, what's next on our list? I don't have my list. I guess I can turn my phone on. I think I see an executive session, maybe.
Yeah, I think so.
Litigation and contracts. How about a motion to go into executive?
A motion to go into executive. Are you making it, or I'll second it, whichever one you want to do. I'll make a motion to go into executive session.
I'll second it, and we'll idle here just a second.
For the other eye?
For another eye and for the right number to put on it. Hear our third commissioner coming up the hall. And what number are we on? We've got a motion and a second. 610.
610
to 1.1.
And all those in favor say aye.
Danny, aye.
Chuck, aye.
Jim, aye.
Motion carries. Give Angie a second to turn the mics and stuff off.